Welcome to Living Villa Capelli, where we learn life is so much sweeter when you add a little Italian to it. And now your hosts, Paul Capelli and Stephen Crutchfield.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Villa Capelli, everybody. This is Stephen. Paul will be joining us shortly. I am giving you a little intro here because we're having another special episode where we interviewed some of our guests here. These actually happen to be some very special guests, Scott Ellis and Scott Drummond, who were visiting the villa with a group of their friends and their children, and we had an amazing time with them. You know, we love all of our guests, but sometimes guests arrive and literally you become fast friends, which is one of the really, really special things about running the villa. So these two guys were one of those guests that we just really clicked with, so we thought, you know, let's interview them, and they had some fun stories. Scott Ellis is a director, so he has some fun stories, including one about a naked Bradley Cooper, so stay tuned for that. And Drummond talks about his experiences on film and stage. And then we get into talking a little bit about traveling in Italy and their experience with traveling in Italy with their kids. So it's going to be fun. And to that point, in talking with them, I realized maybe all you guys, you know, with family and kids could use a little advice on traveling in Italy with your kids. So at the very end of the show, after the interview, stay tuned, and we will give you our tips for traveling in Italy with your kids. Okay, a little heads up, too, on this episode. Please forgive the sound again. We had to, speaking of kids, had to get away from the kids. So we went into our new space, which was a giant stone room. So there is a little bit of an echo. So I'm tried my best to, you know, get rid of that. But you'll hear a little bit of echo and a little bit of thumping from the table. But hopefully you can get past that. It's not as bad, I hope. And just forgive that. And it also, in the background, at one point, you'll hear Jeannie, our friend who is traveling with Scott and Scott. She's in the next podcast episode, but just so you know who she is, she's a friend that was kind of sitting in on our recording. And last but not least, I just want to thank all of you guys for really supporting us and helping us spread the word. Please continue to let your friends and family know about us. We just love spreading the word about Italy and all our experiences here. So anything anybody you might think would be interested, let them know. And, you know, keep remembering to leave us a ratings and review. We really appreciate that. And just like these people. Cleaning Coach, HGC the Third, Tex Red Writer, Cobb 928. Thank you guys for so much for leaving reviews. We really, really appreciate it. I think I like HGC the Third's the best. I've never traveled to Italy, but Paul and Stephen make me feel like I'm living there. Well done. Enjoy the journey. We love those. So thank you guys again. We really appreciate it. And without further ado, here are Scott and Scott.
Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hi, I'm Paul.
I'm Stephen.
Together we're Paul and Stephen.
Yes. And we're welcoming Scott and Scott to the podcast. Yay.
Yay, Scott. Hello. Times two.
Yay. Yes. Scott, do it.
Yeah.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Buonasera. And we're in Italy, in case you didn't figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, these guys have been speaking Italian the whole time, even though they really don't speak Italian.
Wait, we don't speak anything. Okay. We just make it up.
Do it.
Ah, oh, sono cale. Sì, claro. Sì, la catalina è
vostra.
La latina.
It sounds a lot the way you speak Turkish.
Yeah. It's Chinese. It's changed a lot since we've been here. It changes, depending on where we are.
So they were...
They actually have real names. Scott Ellis,
yes.
And Scott Drummond.
Yes. I'll be giving them a proper intro.
You'll be giving them a proper... Why can't I give them a proper intro?
That was proper.
Why can't I just give them a drink? Let's give them a drink.
Good. First.
Totally.
Meanwhile, you have my
okay.
Drinks.
Scott Ellis is a director. Scott Drummond is an actor. They're both amazing at their craft, if you will. Do we call it a craft?
I think that's good.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah,
it's not really an art form.
I think it is.
I think
in a sense
it's
our
form.
Oh, it's
a little
above.
Yeah.
So pompous.
Well, no.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, it's our form and a craft.
I just call it prostitution.
Oh, really? Now that we've all figured out that we're prostitutes, all we have to do is agree on the price.
Exactly. Cheap.
Really
cheap.
Let's go cheap. Speaking of which, Scott Ellis, didn't you recently work with Bradley Cooper?
I did.
And so what's it like to see him naked?
Well, first of all, your listener's not going to have any clue of what you're talking about. It's a show called The Elephant Man. that was on Broadway and is now currently in London, and stars Bradley Cooper. And actually, he's not nude, although in rehearsals, he did suggest at the beginning, when he's introduced as this character, of literally being nude. Really? And I said to him, I don't think we should do that. And I remember thinking, well, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to be upset that I just said
that's right, right. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen and boys and girls, you can send the hate mail to Scott Ellis.
Just drop Scott Ellis. What the hell were you doing?
Because otherwise, if he had shown himself naked, it would have changed the name of the show to The Elephantiasis Man.
He would love.
Here's the good news. He doesn't have to be naked. That's how good he is.
Yes. No,
but I'm curious, why the choice not to?
Because of the character he's playing is John Merrick, who was a real character, a real person in London, who had this elephantitis disease. And I just thought, you know what, when you first see him, I didn't want it to be about, oh, it's Bradley Cooper being naked. It was more, I wanted them to start seeing the character and not to step out of that moment.
Especially because it's the first time you're seeing him.
It's the first time you're seeing him on stage. And I just didn't think that should be the way you should see him.
Do you know that down here in southern Italy, I don't know if it's all of southern Italy, maybe just in this town, there's a phrase for people who have elephantiasis, however you pronounce it. It's called La Grazia della Madonna.
Really?
Yes, it's the Madonna's grace has been bestowed on you when you have like these huge...
Well, that's really
La Grazia della Madonna. It's a blessing bestowed on you. Maybe endowed would be a better word.
Yeah. Yes.
But bestowed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Scott, being an actor, both TV and Broadway... Which do you prefer?
Oh, well, I haven't done enough TV to know, but I would say that, theater's where I come from, and it's part of the reason why someone like Bradley has come back to it is there's something so thrilling about doing theater because it's just live. It's in a moment that, can never be recreated. Every night it's new. That said, the money is so much better when you do TV and film.
Yeah, of course.
And also, I also think sometimes that some of the best things that are happening culturally and politically are happening in amazing TV shows.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it seems like movies have become like the lower rung. You know, they get more money, but less prestige.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's artistic.
Artistically, what things are going on television now is pretty amazing. Yeah. And it didn't used to be.
And
reaches I agree. Theater is, going back to the idea of an art form, I think is pure.
Yeah, because I've always wondered, as a person who can't even remember lyrics to a song, I'm just not someone who remembers
I've
lyrics.
I've seen you at this villa sit and be in an absolute reverie, song after song after song, and you know those songs.
I know the songs, but it's the emotion I get from those songs.
Yes.
It's the emotion I get from the melodies. Much more than the lyrics themselves, except for Mamma. I'm Italian, so. But
is this what you're going to tell people who are coming to visit you that you're going to be singing for them? I don't think you should.
No, neither one of us will be
singing.
That's actually why I never shower because I don't like to sing. But seriously, on stage, I've always marveled at people who can remember their lines. Not only that, but then night after night, and does it ever get monotonous to do the same show over and over and over again?
It's funny. I just did a play with some incredible actors and comedians, and we find ways of keeping it fresh, and I find that I admire very much actors who've managed to do that, but also still stay within parameters of what's okay, the rules of the script and all that stuff. But to stay listening and alert and all that stuff.
Well, and you just did the scene with our friend Jason Moore with Tina Fey, where you did it with what's her name?
Amy Poehler.
Mm-hmm. And you said at the end you were basically kind of ad-libbing, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was an amazing experience because I came in knowing my part, knowing my lines, like you're saying, and Amy right away was just way off script.
Yeah.
I thought, okay. There's so many cameras, and what do I do? Can I go off script? I don't know. And finally, Jason was just like, just just play, just play, just go.
Yeah.
We did take after take after take. I mean, literally extras in a room dying from smoke poisoning because there's like this crazy room with filled with smoke. And then we're just like making stuff up, and it was amazing.
Well, I was just going to ask you, have you ever, or has anyone ever done it to you, like on stage especially, just to like throw out a line that wasn't in the script just to fuck you up?
That's kind of a no-no.
No. As a director, I would say you don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Other very subtle things that happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm gonna turn the tables a little bit. Besides being who they are, these guys, but they also are traveling with two amazing kids.
But hold on. No, hold on. One second. Before we get off script there for a second, I know where you're going. I just want to say that if people don't know who Scott Ellis is or Scott Drummond, Scott has directed some amazing TV shows. It's true. Some amazing, like Weeds, Desperate Housewives, on Broadway on the 20th Century, of course. Elephant Man, which I remember seeing in the 1970s, I think, with David Bowie on Broadway, was just blow away.
Yep.
Cabaret, which I have on my iPod, a couple of songs with Cabaret, because it's one of my favorite plays.
Cabaret is actually, and I'm an associate artistic director at the Roundabout Theater, so I'm one of the producers on it, and that's the one with Alan Cummings.
And you also directed, you never said anything about this, or you were artistic director at the Roundabout Theater, on a play that you never mentioned to us, you little shit.
Uh-oh, be careful, because it might not be the play. Go on, because my name's on a lot of those plays as an associate, but tell me, what are you thinking?
A Naked Girl on the Appian Way.
Oh my gosh, here's the thing, I did not direct that.
Right, you were artistic director.
I did not artistic director.
Right.
And that's right.
And here we are on the Appian Way. And Jeannie, who's sitting here, is going to be the Naked Girl on the Appian Way. Here we go.
Just happened.
Yeah. Right? Is that coincidental?
That is, because I didn't direct it, but our theater did it. Yeah. You're absolutely right. I totally forgot a Richard Greenberg play.
Yeah.
Yes, which
Speaking of the Appian Way, by the way, which is right in front of Villa Capelli. Shockingly. Talk about the Appian Way, because I was
We can talk about it. It's the oldest highway in Italy, arguably one of the oldest roads in the world, of civilized world, and it's one of those places where the expression came from, all roads lead to Rome, because it goes to Rome. If you got the front gate and turn left, you go to Rome. You turn right, you go to Brindisi. And Scott Drummond has been in a few great TV shows also, I think. Sisters?
That's the movie. That's the movie.
Is the movie. Okay. Yes. And Boardwalk Empire.
Boardwalk Empire. Yeah.
Which a lot of people just absolutely go nuts over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to go back to the Appian Way because I will say that when we started circling around and looked at this place and started seeing where this place was, that was actually one of the most exciting parts of it.
Oh, yeah?
That we said, oh my gosh, look exactly. When we looked at the map and said, look at where this place is, that was
huge.
Incredible. That we were just like blown away by the fact that you wouldn't.
Well, it was also one of the reasons why I bought the place. When I was first introduced to the Appian Way here in Tedlizzi, it was probably 1969 or 1960. I went to America in 1962, so it was either right before I left or the first time I came back. And I remember when my mom, we were visiting one of my grandfather's properties here along the Appian Way, and I remember my mother explaining to me that this was the Appian Way where the Roman legions came down. Maybe that's what's like when I first realized I was maybe a little gay. Because all I could think of was, I'm peeing on the same tree that a Roman legionnaire may have been peeing on. So when I found out...
That's what you were thinking.
Exactly.
Wow. Okay.
So when I found out that this house that we found by accident and fell in love with was actually number 11 Appian Way, I was like, okay, this is it. It's mine.
And it's literally a part of like... thousands of years.
Yeah,
of
yeah, yeah.
You
yeah.
think about the people that have walked this road.
I mean, we meet pilgrims like, you know, at least once a week, once a month, and then we get to meet famous directors and actors.
Yes.
And wedding planners.
Actually, and I will say, these guys, we've talked about this on the episode with Jeannie, these are the guys who we're hoping, are going to do their destination wedding here. Mm-hmm. When they came here, they loved the space, so we're hoping that
God only could rain that on us.
Yes.
Well, but here's the thing. I mean, this is what's sort of interesting is we've talked about this and gone back and forth, but it says a lot about this place. I mean, certainly Italy, since we haven't been here, but it actually says a lot about your place.
Yes.
Because once we walked in, and it took a tiny bit of adjustment because you went, oh, wait a minute, this is different. But it became different in such an authentic way mm-hmm. that we just realized, oh, this is so unique and so different. And that's what sort of started the conversation.
And that has very much to do with you all.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
It was exciting for us to hear it when you first said it. Like, I was showing Drummond the new space, and he was like, we're getting married here. We're getting married here. I was like, whoa. Yeah. When did this come up?
Part of the issue that we have a lot of times is, you know, we try to keep the place as authentic as possible. Even the reconstruction that we've done, most people that come here say, wow, you know, it's hard to see where you've done the new stuff and where the old stuff ends and new stuff begins.
Right. Yeah.
But then we have other people come here and say, like, you know, it's a little shabby around the edges. You know, it's a little, you know, the garden, you know, why don't you have a, what they call here, an English lawn and all this other stuff. Yeah. It's like, because that's not what it is. First of all, I don't want to pollute the ground by trying to grow a lawn here or waste water in doing it. But besides, it's like, it's really like earthy.
That's right.
It should be earthy.
It feels to me like you're part of the landscape.
Yeah, unbelievably unique and different. But I will say, it does take a moment to adjust. Or at least to say where we, you know, coming from America and what you're used to when you go to certain places and they're all done in a very specific way. And this is a little looser and in a really great way.
In the way that we don't want to leave.
And we
try to present ourselves that way too, because I don't want somebody to arrive and not appreciate the space for what it is. Because it's like we're not a 5-star hotel.
No,
we'll tell you,
no,
the listeners,
we want to be.
Yeah, not yet.
Oh, but speaking of 5-star hotels, here's something that people should understand about hotel stars. Most people think that, oh my God, I'm staying at a 5-star hotel. It must be one of the best hotels in the world because 5-star is the highest ranking. 5 stars, 4 stars, 3 stars have nothing to do with the quality of the place. It only has to do with the services that are offered by the place.
Exactly.
So 3-star hotel means they have an elevator.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Exactly.
5-star hotel means they have a concierge and 24-hour room service.
Right.
That's all it means. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh. But most people think, oh, it's 5-star hotel.
Oh, it must be.
So we want to be like in Spinal Tap, where their stereo went up to 11. We want to be a 6-star hotel.
Exactly. Well, that's the way it feels. Honestly, I feel more a part of. I'm experiencing this part of the world which I've never been to, in a way that I could never have imagined. You know, it feels so much more authentic and. Feels like you all know it in a different way than a lot of hotels around here. You know what I mean? I can't even say that.
Yeah, it's what we were saying with Jeannie on the other podcast, that at first we felt a little uncomfortable. We thought guests might feel uncomfortable about coming here because we live on the premises. Whereas I think, and most people agree with us, that if we didn't live on the premises, we couldn't provide those sort of, I'll just call them concierge services that you need, because you're not in Rome, you're not in Venice, you're not in Florence where you pick up a guidebook that tells you where to go, you know, here's 5 different places to have dinner or whatever.
Exactly.
Here you need someone to say, okay, go here, don't go there. Otherwise, you're lost.
And by the way, your daughter watched our kids for hours.
FYI.
But they didn't want us to come home. They had a better time with her than they did with us.
And one of your kids pinned wings on my chest.
Which is a very big deal. Yeah. He got that when he was going under the airplane, and the pilot gave him, and you should be really proud of that.
I am. I'm still wearing it.
You should be really proud.
Well, speaking of kids, I want to ask these guys, like, what is it like, at least traveling in Italy with young... They have 2 amazing... 5.5-year-old kids.
1 boy, 1 girl.
Yes,
twins.
They're great. Mm-hmm. And what is it like traveling in Italy, especially Puglia, with 5.5-year-olds?
Well, it's just a shit show.
But in a really great way.
No, but you guys are
shit show. Great.
But here's the difference
amazing.
With, I mean, the great experience with this trip has been that we've traveled with a group of our friends who all have kids.
Right.
So there's 4 families here that have the 4 of us plus another friend of ours who doesn't have kids, and we've all come together. I think that's unique and exciting, and I think the traveling with kids, sort of everyone has experienced with that, but I think the idea of traveling with friends with kids is what's so unique, which is what this place offers,
yes,
because
yes, exactly.
it's large enough that we can get a group to come and say, okay, let's all be together and have a vacation.
It's fun to me to watch the kids. You guys kept going, oh, you must like be annoyed with the kids. I'm like, it's actually fun to watch the kids all play together. For me, it's exciting to watch them bond and actually like, you guys all live in New York City. And so for them, it's like actually fun to watch them actually like kind of experience the country, experience life here.
I went with four kids yesterday. Yeah. I picked wild arugula from the garden. Yeah. I picked basil from the garden. And they could not have been more thrilled.
Oh,
they love it.
They have not mentioned television.
Oh, that's amazing.
They've never said, I want to watch, nothing. And by the way, I'm sorry, but we count on television a lot.
It pays our mortgage.
You have to. Yes, and it pays, believe me, that's nice. But that's what's so
there's something
great.
I feel like, honestly, that they need from somewhere.
Yeah.
Like. Well, you had the great idea the other day that they would help me in the kitchen cooking lunch.
Yes.
Right. And it was a lot of fun for me. That how much fun they had. I didn't think they would have that much fun. I thought they'd be bored in within 10 minutes. Oh, and the girls were like, is there anything else we can cut? I want to cut more tomatoes. I was like, okay, so we'll make the salad now. They're like, really? We can make the salad? I was like, oh, this is great. I have labor.
Not only be labor, but
like a purpose.
But also. Great. And they learned where it came from.
But you were great. Yeah. You were great with them, and that's a huge difference. But the fact that they were able to sit there, make this, eat lunch with you and really do it and then sit down and eat it and go, we help make this? Yeah. That, come on.
Which, guys,
as a group.
But you don't have to do that here too. Do that with your kids at home. I mean, I think that's really important. That's my one big tip for this episode. Maybe is like, you don't have to do that here. You do that with your kids at home.
Show what can you take? I mean, that's actually good. Yeah, what can we take home from what we're learning here in this villa in Italy and take it home with us?
Yeah.
As families, because it does. I mean, listen, vacations, but it is some unique things.
They learned where their food came from, which I thought was kind of important. They didn't like in learning, like, what is bread? Like, and we did the yeast, and like the yeast helps it rise, and where to make. I mean, they learned, like, the garden. They went out and picked where their arugula comes from.
They ate it. They ate it and knew that they picked it.
And it was great, and they were actually great about tasting everything when we were making it. Oh, can I taste the dough? I'm like, it tastes probably like uncooked flour, but if you really want to taste it.
It was probably good.
They loved it. To me, it was exciting to see them be excited about it.
Yes. You know, the only problem is that when you go back home, a lot of times you don't have the opportunity to take them out and pick wild arugula or basil.
You don't, but we do have, you can take things and, you know, we have open markets. We have, you know, fresh fruit and vegetables that come to, you know, in certain areas. And it is something that we need to, like, try to grab onto.
And I'm sure the kids, when you go do some of that shopping, they're going to say to you, they're going to know more about that stuff that you're thinking about buying.
They can pitch in.
And they know the difference in how it tastes.
Yeah.
I mean, the things that we've tasted here have been so extraordinary. And, like, they know now that that tastes different than what we get at the grocery store in New York.
And these guys have been great. Every parent here has been great about making the kids try everything. We were, like, really nervous about the seafood, mixed seafood pasta. And Parker, one of the guys, like, literally was drinking the broth from the plate.
So it
was,
like,
for us, it's kind of cool to watch them, like,
As usual, the kids are much more courageous. Yeah. Than the adults were, because you can't teach old dogs new tricks.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they are.
That was sort of what we came as a group and just sort of said, you know what, let's just try it. Right. Let's experience this and try it. And I think that was.
We also got to experience yesterday, Scott Ellis's amazing directorial and production talent. When the kids were getting rather loud and rambunctious and he had to babysit them, being in a very religious country, especially down here in the South, Scott decided that the best way to maybe quiet them down would be to create a religious holiday. So now
I wouldn't quite go as far as a religious holiday.
It was a ceremonial, and most of
the parents left. All the parents left, and two of us were stayed here.
Went to a beautiful beach nearby.
They went to a beautiful beach, and the two of us decided we'd stay with the kids. One of the other fathers and I. But there are a lot of kids, and we decided, you know what, we need a little piece here, so I don't know where I came up with it, but I just basically said, you know what, guys, in Italy, there's a special time that it's a saint's day, but we're quiet so we can let the saints relax and sleep, and we don't want to wake anybody up, and we keep it very, very quiet. And so we had, Stephen went and rang a bell. We set this up, and they rang a bell, and we just said, no, we have to be very, very quiet for the saints.
Saint silence.
Or in Italian, Santo Silenzio.
And they were very quiet for several hours.
It was pretty brilliant. We were like, this is never going to work, and it was brilliant.
And it also worked because our doorbell, by the way, we do not have an electronic doorbell. We have a doorbell where outside the gate, the steel gate, you have to pull a chain, and the chain rings a pretty big church bell that can be heard around the countryside. Yes. And that hearkened the beginning of Saint Silencio Day.
So I'm going to pass that on to all the listeners. You can use that.
And the strange thing today, we did it again today. We had two this week. It was great. So we had two today. Today's only lasted half an hour because
the parents got uncomfortable.
The parents got uncomfortable. They could not whisper for too long, and they needed to talk. So we had to cancel Saint Silencio Day early. I was really?
When we come back, we're definitely using that again.
That
is going to be part of
it. It was brilliant.
We might try it in New York also.
Well, we're also going to institute it at the villa. Every family comes in. Today, Wednesday, it used to be Prince Spaghetti Day. Now it's Saint Silencio Day.
Beautiful. Give me a tiny bit credit underneath.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
I'm going to say one thing. The thing that I think has been the best part of this, honestly, the best part, is the food. The food and the way that you prepare the food, that when we say we'd like a dinner at this time, that we can sit down, and we've had this unbelievable meals every night. We're just dumbfounded by
table,
that.
Table all together, so communal, and so it's
unique.
The great thing about it that we really appreciate is the fact that you are flexible enough to know that when you say you would like to have dinner at 7, and we serve dinner at 7:30, 7:45, that feels like 7, because we're in Italy.
Well, listen, believe me, that was a thing that we all had to readjust, that everything's just slower here.
Yeah.
Everything is slower. Well, it doesn't come as fast, and it takes a little bit of a thing. But then all of a sudden you go into this and you go with that and you start relaxing. And I'm telling you right now, it's going to be a little jarring to go back to the States. It just will. It'll adjust again. But for us to allow that to happen, and I think it really happened a great deal around the table.
What happened a couple of years ago was that we had a group from Canada. It was all men, not gay men. They were all married to women. I hope their parents know they're hetero. But they came here, and it was called Men Who Shall Cook. And they came here for a week, and then they were going up to the Slow Food Convention in Torino. Slow food is the big foodie thing. So they wanted to make porchetta one night. So I had to find a special butcher who had the right kind of porchetta, which is, a pork belly, basically, so like bacon that you roll up and you cook in the oven. So we go to the butcher with the chef, and there's a woman in front of us who's doing her shopping for the weekend at the butcher. So she orders, six chicken cutlets, three fillets of meat, 16 links of sausage. She's going on. So the chef, who's on his way to the Slow Food Convention, finally says to me, oh my God, it's like 20 minutes. This is taking forever. And I had to turn around to him, and I said, slow food is not just a concept. It's a reality.
It's slow. Very good. It's very slow. Really.
And we've done expeditions to stores with you every day. You go to this place for the cheese. Yeah. We go to this place for the meat. Sure. We go to this place for the vegetables.
So see, we're not lying when I say that he's gone for like 3 hours.
Yeah, but hold on. I mean, that is part of the experience.
Because
I could go to any supermarket and get all of that stuff in one place.
No, you could not. I wouldn't let you do that. I complain about it, but I tell people here too. These guys have loved the meals, but I'm seriously, 90% of it is Paul's shopping. I don't do much but put in olive oil and salt. It's like done. It's like I don't Italian cooking is like you buy the fresh ingredients.
When people ask us for a recipe, I tell them, well, you start with the usual suspects, olive oil, onions, garlic.
Done. Yeah.
And then you just cook it and you're done.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe tomatoes.
Yeah. No, it's, you can't go wrong.
Well, it's been a remarkable week.
Yes. And they're going to come back in 2016. Yes. Can't wait to do
with
the wedding.
With family and friends.
In-laws and friends.
Yes.
That would be wonderful.
Yes. Yeah. We'd be so excited.
And maybe we'll have a new wing dedicated just to you.
Or Saints Silence.
Right. Saints Silence. Yeah. We'll build a chapel. Yeah. The chapel that we're going to rebuild. Yeah, we should call it Saint Silence Chapel.
It's a tiny little plaque. That's all I want.
No, it's a little plaque.
Nothing ostentatious. Nothing gold.
I'm seriously, this is a golden tip. Guys, if you took nothing away from this episode, that was golden. You have no idea. This is seven kids that all attentively listened to this story and all followed it for 2 hours.
And whispering.
The cat over there. Do you want to? I'm like, okay, yeah, we'll go. It was amazing. That's why today it was disturbed the parents.
I'm sad. Sadly, I will have to explain to them when they get older there was no such thing as it.
I can't wait. But you have to film this.
But it will be an experience that they will certainly
remember.
It'll be
like there's no Easter Bunny.
Exactly.
I'll just add it to our list.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
Okay.
On that note.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Scott Ellis and Scott Drummond.
Thank you.
It's been amazing. And luckily, our week with you two is not over yet.
Yes.
Barbecue tonight.
That's right. Yes.
Thank you, guys.
Bye.
Thank you. Buonanotte. Ciao.
Hey, everybody. I hope you enjoyed that interview as much as we enjoyed doing it. And as you can hear, you know, it's not easy traveling with kids. So we thought this would be a good time to talk about traveling with your kids in Italy and our tips to maybe make life a little easier when you do come to Italy. Our first tip is about food. I think these guys did an amazing job of telling their kids before they come that you're going to try everything. It's not going to taste maybe the same as what you get at home. But we're here to explore, we're here to travel, and we're here to try everything. And I think that's really important for the kids, and it'll make, your life a little easier because hopefully they're not so picky, and they'll discover new tastes and new foods and really immerse themselves in the Italian culture. And I think that's just a great way to experience it. On that same note, I would say pick restaurants where you want to eat, not always where the kids want to be. I say that because it kind of goes contradictory to my first point, which is, you know, ask them to try everything. But if you do have picky eaters, you'll be hard pressed to find a restaurant here who can't throw together a pasta for your kids with a quick tomato sauce or some cheese or whatever for your kids. So you guys enjoy the food if you have picky eaters, and you'll find something for them, or the restaurant will make something for them if you do have picky eater kids. And on another note on that is, remember that you'll probably will not be eating lunch till 1 o'clock. Stores close at 1 p.m. here, and they reopen from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., which means you're going to have a long lunch or a late lunch. So you probably in some of the touristy places you can find restaurants and cafes open a little early, but most Italians have a really long lunch starting at 1 o'clock. And then do not expect to find a place open for dinner before 8 p.m., especially in Puglia. It's just not going to happen. So you just have to prepare your kids for that a little bit, especially when it comes to food. Our other tip is the language. That's the second tip. You know, Italians always appreciate if you try a little bit of their language, just like any foreign country. So I think you can have some fun with the kids and teach them some basic phrases like ciao, grazie, prego. You know, it'll help them, just learn some basic manners when interacting with Italians. And it'll also be fun to immerse them a little bit in the culture. The third tip is about entertainment. Sometimes you want a little downtime, obviously, from sightseeing and walking everywhere. I will say do not expect television to provide any entertainment. And hopefully they're entertained enough that they're, just like Scott said in the episode, they're not looking for television. But I would recommend bringing cards and board games and that kind of stuff to help fill the downtime. If you turn on the TV, you're not going to find any kind of American television to entertain them, even the American cartoons. Everything is dubbed over in Italian. So you really need to kind of plan ahead if you want some downtime and you want them being entertained. And I would recommend, you know, little travel kits and board games and those kind of stuff that you can almost leave behind, because then you'll have room in your luggage for all your souvenirs. Tip number four, traveling with your kids in Italy in a car or train. In this case, I mean, this kind of seems like common sense, but sometimes we'd be surprised. Some of our guests kind of don't think about it when they take off for day trips. But it's always a good idea to bring water, cups, and snacks in the car to, you know, satisfy those hungry and thirsty kids when they need it, especially the water and the cups. That's really important. That way you're not stopping every 10 minutes, and it just helps, obviously, get things going. And always keep in your back pocket some fun car games if they need to be entertained. I think it's really easy here to even just kind of help and point out all the sights as you go, because there's so much to see even just out your car window. And it's something new and different for them to see. Tip number five, with traveling with friends and other family. This is something Scott alluded to again in the podcast, which is, I think, one great advantage and one great tip would be is if it's possible to travel with friends and family that have a similar age kids. It automatically provides playmates for them, lets them stay entertained, makes it more enjoyable for them. They kind of act as each other's babysitters and entertainment, you know, so it makes it a little more enjoyable for you as well to take a little break from watching them and keeping them entertained. And to that point, I guess I will plug Villa Capelli here. I mean, in a space like ours is ideal for this, because if you can't stay here, obviously stay a place like this where you have lots of bedrooms and lots of common rooms where you can all be together. You know, it just creates a much more of a family community travel trip than a hotel where you're all just going back to a hotel room and then you meet by the lobby or whatever. This is like you're in a home together, and it's just such a nicer experience in my opinion. Next tip is about sightseeing. Here we're going to recommend you pick exploration over museums. And what I mean by that is I personally believe most kids are not going to be happy being dragged through a museum. They're going to be bored. But in Italy, luckily, you have living museums pretty much around every corner. You know, take them to the ruins. Take them to Matera, where the city right out of history. Take them to the floor of the Colosseum and bring history to life for them. They're going to love that. They're going to feel more the adventure and the excitement of that than being dragged through a sterile museum. So that's a big recommendation, especially in Italy. And it's easy to do, and I highly recommend that. And my last tip is eat lots of gelato while you're here. Traveling with kids in Italy gives you the best excuse to eat lots of gelato. You'll have a whole ton of varieties. And remember, gelato has less calories and less fat than ice cream, so you're not cheating too bad. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Again, let us know. If you want us to cover any topics, please just send us an email at info@villacapelli.com. You can find us pretty much everywhere at Villa Capelli. So on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, we're Villa Capelli. And the website is villacapelli.com. You'll see a link to the podcast, link to staying at the villa if you want some to do that. And the Villa Capelli hosts our products. If you ever want to try a little bit of the products we make and a little taste of Italy and a little taste of Villa Capelli, we'd appreciate it. Again, I want to thank Scott Ellis and Scott Drummond for joining us in this episode. And I want to thank all of you guys for joining us as well. And until next time, arrivederci.